Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
There won't be a gas-fired power plant built next to Mission Trails Regional Park after all. Plans for the controversial project have been withdrawn at the request of a letter sent by Quail Brush Genco LLC, the project applicant, to the California Energy Commission on September 12th. The project had faced overwhelming opposition, including city councils of both Santee and San Diego, the Santee School District, environmental groups, and residents. Preserve Wild Santee hailed the news as a victory, posting the following message on its Facebook page. The 100-megawatt plant that would have despoiled Mission Trails Park while burning fracked gas is history. Environmental groups that waged the successful battle to halt the fossil fuel-powered Quail Brush facility are now gearing up for a court battle in hopes of stopping a similar plant proposed in the Otay Mesa area. SDG&E has contended these facilities were needed to meet local power needs after the decommissioning of the San Onofre nuclear plant. But opponents contend this need can be met with clean energy solutions such as rooftop solar. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
The Secretary of State's office has found that backers of a ballot initiative that would divide California into six separate states fell far short of the required 807,615 signatures needed. Supporters turned in over 1.2 million signatures, but a random check to verify the validity found only 66% of them were valid. The measure had been backed by billionaire Tim Draper, who argued that California had become ungovernable and that smaller states would be more responsive to the people. The Silicon Valley venture capitalists called it an opportunity to reboot California, but opponents raised concerns that smaller new states would lack funds to adequately address issues ranging from water to highway maintenance to public universities. Draper has stated that his campaign will review the rejected signatures, the Sacramento Bee reported. Assembly Speaker Fabio Nunez, chairman of One California, a group opposed to the initiative, said, "The implosion of this ballot measure spares us from a two-year campaign of bashing our great state, which continues to be the nation's bastion of innovation, diversity, and progress." The measure would have lumped San Diego County in with Imperial, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. Most of the state's wealth would have been concentrated elsewhere. The new state of Silicon Valley, Draper's base, would have become the nation's richest state. Even if the measure had qualified and been approved by voters, however, it would still have required congressional approval. The proposed initiative failed to win support of voters, but did draw the attention of late-night comedians, including comedian Stephen Colbert, who poked fun at the plan on the Colbert Report, calling the Six Californians plan California Scheming. This has been a Sacramento Report on East County Magazine. I'm Leon Thompson.
This is a breaking news alert from the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on wildfires burning across California and some tips on what you need to know as we go into wildfire season here. Fueled by tinder dry conditions amid the worst drought in memory, fires have collectively burned over a quarter of a million acres of federal forest lands and national park lands alone in California so far this month. In Orange County, over 200 homes are under evacuation orders now due to the Silverado Fire, which started Saturday and is burning in the Cleveland National Forest. Firefighting resources are also battling blazes in Yosemite National Park, as well as Klamath, Sequoia, Lassen, and Shasta Trinity National Forests. For updates on these fires and other major fires around the state, you can Google Cal Fire Incident Web. Our own in-house fire chief and columnist Sam DiGiovanna says the Silverado Fire is a reminder of things to come with extreme fire danger. A weak high-pressure system drove temperatures up and humidity levels down, meaning that fall fire conditions are here right now. He says this fire grew from hundreds of acres to over 1,000 in a very short amount of time, and it's fortunate there were no Santa Ana winds Sunday, or this fire might have burned all the way to the ocean. Expect Santa Ana winds over the next few months. Though Santa Anas are typical this time of year, combined with drought conditions, we will experience significant fires with rapid rate of spread and with significant losses, Chief DiGiovanna predicts. Fuel moisture levels are down to zero throughout the West. The chief adds, firefighters are true professionals and know what to do. However, we could soon see multiple fires burning in Southern California being pushed by strong, hot, dry winds into communities over the next few months. This will tax our resources and firefighters. Homeowners, especially those on hillsides, need to do their part by following fire department brush compliance rules and be prepared. But if you think brush fires impact hillside residents only, think again, says the chief. Personnel are dispatched from all over under the California Master Mutual Aid Program. Fire stations from other areas may be called in to assist, which means that some stations could be temporarily empty until personnel are recalled to staff those stations. Poor air quality from smoke also creates health concerns for everyone, especially those with respiratory problems or those who are immune compromised. There are several more things you can do to be sure you're kept informed during fires. You can sign up for free Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts via email on our website, eastcountymagazine.org, and you can follow Viejas Alerts on Twitter to get alerts sent to your mobile phone. Our service covers major emergencies countywide. It's free to the public and does not wait until the fire is in your zip code to alert you, giving you more time to prepare in case an evacuation becomes necessary. Now, there's also ReadySanDiego.org, which provides free alerts, and theirs are targeted to your neighborhood, so you'll likely get more frequent alerts on smaller incidents. We recommend both services to be sure you're informed fully and early. You can listen to scanners online with your computer to hear live dispatch information on fires in your area at broadcastify.com. Just choose the channel for the fire districts near you, such as Heartland Fire, Cal Fire, Rural Fire, and the Forest Service. There are also scanner apps available to turn your cell phone effectively into a portable scanner. Now, it's also wise to keep a portable battery-operated radio on hand in case of emergency so that you can continue getting information during a major regional emergency, even in a power outage or if cell phone towers should burn down. Now, that said, radio stations here only interrupt normal broadcasting during major firestorms or emergencies, so it's best to take the other precautions listed above as well. Keep a list of emergency contacts handy and pack an emergency kit. Be sure to include extra medications, water, non-perishable food, and supplies for everybody in the family, including diapers for infants, pet foods, and carriers for your pets. Include a flashlight and copies of important documents, such as insurance information. Also store important papers and records off-site in a fireproof location, such as a bank safe deposit box or cloud storage on the Internet. Now, some backcountry residents have invested in firefighting foam or gel, which can be sprayed even a day beforehand on a residence when a wildfire is approaching, and it's been known to save structures. Once a fire is close enough for evacuation orders to be issued, however, don't hesitate. Get out. Wind-driven fires in our region have been known to travel at 60 miles an hour. That's as fast as a vehicle on the freeway, and the heat and smoke can quickly overcome people who fail to evacuate, even burning tires off vehicles, making escape impossible. No belongings are worth risking your life, or the lives of firefighters who may put their own safety at risk trying to rescue people who become trapped by a fast-moving Southern California wildfire. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
This is Leon Thompson with the Health Report on East County Magazine. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control reports that a virus suspected of sickening hundreds of children in the Midwest this summer is spreading across the nation with 80 cases confirmed. CBS Channel 8 said that several cases were reported in states from the East Coast to the South and now into the West. Doctors at Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego say that several children in the intensive care unit here are suspected of harboring the virus. Enteroviruses are common, infecting over a million people a year. But the enterovirus D68 strain is rare and is causing more severe cases than in the past, and authorities are not sure why. With flu season coming, the outbreaks have health officials concerned. Tests to confirm the outbreak locally are pending. In the Midwest and elsewhere, including New York City, Cases of enterovirus D68 have caused extreme respiratory distress, including asthma-like attacks and wheezing. One child locally had blue lips and was drifting into unconsciousness when admitted. Dr. Stuart Bryce told CBS that in addition to cold-like symptoms and trouble breathing, parents should look for skin sunken in above a child's clavicle or collarbone. Frequent hand washing, especially after touching the eyes, nose, or mouth, can help prevent spread of the disease. Parents should also keep sick children home from school.
This is Miriam Raftery with a special weather report. Hurricane Odile has struck the coast of Baja California at record speeds of 125 miles per hour, causing damage. Although Hurricane Odile is now downgraded to a tropical storm, it is not expected to make landfall near San Diego. Moisture from the system could bring significant rainfall across our region Wednesday and Thursday, the National Weather Service reports. The risk of flash flooding will also increase by midweek. The Weather Service reminds motorists not to drive across flooded roadways. Remember, turn around, don't drown. A heat advisory also remains in effect, with triple-digit temperatures expected to last through Tuesday. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
If you're a part-time or full-time worker, you'll soon have at least 3 paid sick leave days a year, starting in July 2015. Governor Jerry Brown has signed into law a bill authored by San Diego Assemblymember Lorena Gonzalez. The bill is expected to impact 6.5 million workers, 40% of the state's workforce that currently lacks paid time off when they're sick. Under the new law, workers will earn 1 paid sick day for every 30 hours they work. Assemblymember Gonzalez voiced gratitude to her Democratic colleagues for passing the bill, which was opposed by Republicans. As a single working mom, I know firsthand the challenge of having to juggle a sick child who needs to see a doctor and your responsibilities at work, she stated. But no parent should have to experience the heartache of having to choose between making the rent and taking care of their child. The measure was backed by labor groups and opposed by business interests. Supporters say the bill was necessary to protect the health of workers and others, since employees who come to work sick can infect co-workers and the public. Opponents argued the bill would cost employers money. But the website PaidSickDays.org has published a fact sheet indicating that paid sick days actually reduce costs for employers by preventing other employees from becoming ill, while also reducing insurance and public health care costs. In San Francisco, many employers initially opposed a similar measure, but now two-thirds of San Francisco employers support the law, according to the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Governor Brown, in signing the bill into law, stated, "When you look at the power and the wealth that is accumulated by a very small percentage, and then you look at the people at the bottom, this is the least we can do, and there's more in the coming years." He called the bill a real step forward. Similar measures have been passed by several cities and by the state of Connecticut. At least 20 states now have paid sick leave measures introduced in their legislatures. The law exempts workers in a handful of industries, including airline flight crews under federal labor laws, employees under certain collective bargaining arrangements, and state-funded in-home health care providers, the Los Angeles Times reports. Employers are prohibited from retaliating against workers who request paid sick days and can face fines up to $4,000 a day if they refuse to pay a sick worker or otherwise violate the new law. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine.
A bill that is now on the governor's desk awaiting signature threatens to subvert California's Public Records Act. Senate Bill 1300 was touted as a means of strengthening safety regulation of oil refineries. But Peter Scheer, the executive director of the First Amendment Coalition, warns that last-minute amendments in the bill mean that it would eviscerate the state's Freedom of Information law, the Public Records Act. The group is urging the public to contact Governor Jerry Brown and ask him to veto the bill. The measure originally required oil companies to file reports on scheduled shutdowns of refineries for maintenance, but Amendments backed by oil companies give power to the oil companies to withhold information from the public and sue those who seek public records. Huffington Post reports that SB 1300 allows refinery owners to designate virtually any information at all as a trade secret, regardless of whether it qualifies legally as a trade secret or not. The bill goes further, giving an oil refinery owner the right to file a lawsuit against any member of the public who seeks public records, to block disclosure, and force ordinary citizens to hire lawyers and defend their public records request in court. And if you lose, you will have to pay the oil company's legal bills. Scheer observes, ordinary citizens certainly won't be able to take this risk. News media certainly won't take this risk, he predicts. The bill sets a dangerous precedent that could prevent citizens from getting vital information on matters such as toxic pollutants in their water, soil, or air from a refinery in their community. It could stop workers from getting information about oversight of safety at refineries. Moreover, it could be used as a model to later exclude other industries and special interests from public disclosure and have a chilling effect on the rights of citizens and the media to access public records without fear of retribution. The California Newspaper Association's General Counsel, Jim Ewart, says that Kafka couldn't have devised a better scenario, a reference to the nightmarish bureaucratic scenarios described by Russian author Franz Kafka. This measure clearly sabotages the intent of the Ralph M. Brown Act, California's public records statute, which was intended to assure your access to public records that impact the people and the communities across California. If you wish to contact the governor about SB 1300, you can call his office at area code 916-445-2841 or send an email via the governor's website. Reporting for East County Magazine's Sacramento Report on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And today we're sitting down with Supervisor Diane Jacob in her office in El Cajon to talk about a very important subject, which is the increasing number of sexually violent predators being released into East County. Diane? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Now, how many of these sexually violent predators have been released into East County in recent years?
Well, unfortunately, there have been 7 in recent time in East County. Now, 6 of those are in the 2nd District in East County and then 1 in Borrego.
Now, we understand that the law, as of right now, requires that when these guys get out of prison, they be released to the counties where they came from. But why is East County being singled out so disproportionately? Why aren't some of these offenders being sent to North County or South County or Central San Diego?
Well, it's up to a property owner. And if you have a property owner that really doesn't care about their neighbors, doesn't care about the community, and all they care about is the money, because there's big money in this, then they are agreeable to renting out. If you don't have a property owner that agrees to rent out their home or their house to a sexually violent predator, which, by the way, is the worst of the worst, this is somebody you don't want in your community, they should stay locked up for good.
Yeah, these are guys who have kidnapped people, they have raped children, all sorts of serious stuff.
It's very serious. And what happens when they're released into the community, it changes the lifestyle of the people in that community forever. And we talk about Jacumba and Campo and Descanso and all of our backcountry communities. These are family-oriented communities. Yeah. It's very, very, very close-knit.
Yeah, people moved out there because they liked the wide open spaces and they didn't want to be in the big city with all of those high crime problems in urban areas.
That's exactly right. Many of them, they've kept their doors open and so on. So this is a lifestyle change for that community. It's not fair.
Now, what we had been hearing from the state and from the company that they hire to monitor these guys after they're released was not to worry. They're monitored with ankle bracelets. You know, no concern for community safety. And yet, in Jacumba, we just had one of these guys wander into an elderly woman's home and sexually assault her. How can that happen, Diane? What are you hearing about that? How can he wander off like that without having alarm bells sounding somewhere?
Well, the system is broken, and the placement, and it's totally outrageous, and the system is broken. It doesn't work. We know that because out of the seven that have been released, three of those have broken their conditions of release and have been sent back.
And one died, so we have three left for now.
So keep them locked up. Why take the chance? I mean, what a judge relies on are several so-called mental health experts at our state mental hospital that think that they know that the individual is safe to be released into the community.
So there is some discretionary power. They don't have to let these guys out.
Absolutely. If they don't pass the test, first they go to prison. District attorney then applies for civil commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the civil commitment process, if that's granted, they go to the state mental hospital. And then if they go through certain steps, then there's a few mental health experts that determine whether or not the individual is safe to be released into the community. I say they're not safe to be released. So then that recommendation goes to a judge, and then there's a hearing, and I will stand by the community at every one of these hearings and will protest it. And I do think there is discretion. Absolutely there is discretion.
Now, have the sentencing guidelines changed, Diane? In other words, if a person committed the same crime today, would they be put away for a longer period of time? In other words, is this a long-term problem, or are we seeing sort of a bump in the python where eventually these cases in the pipeline will be worked through and the new ones committing crimes will be put away for a longer period of time?
My understanding, according to the district attorney's office, is that there is a finite population that could be released in San Diego County.
And how many is that?
It's about 70 total.
70? That's a lot.
70, and that includes the seven that have already been released. So there are more that the potential is there for more to come to San Diego County. And my point is, while we are being dumped on in our East County backcountry today, this could happen in any neighborhood at any time in the San Diego County region if there is an absentee property owner that chooses to rent the property.
So that raises a couple of questions, Diane. One is, why are so many of them being released into East County instead of somewhere else? And two, what can be done, what should be done to protect people in our communities? I know, for example, that Megan's Law limits where they can be released. They can't be turned loose within a certain number of feet of schools or parks, for example. So what is the solution?
The first question that I would respond to is, why East County backcountry? It's not like the state allocates these sexually violent predators to certain areas.
In a way they do, though. The state says that they have to go back to the county they came from before they were arrested.
In the county, but as far as within the county, the areas are not designated.
Do you think they should be?
No, I think these people should stay locked up. But Liberty Healthcare, which is the contractor that the state of California contracts with, mm-hmm. goes out looking. And they go out looking, trying to find a willing property owner willing to rent their house to a sexually violent predator. And unfortunately, they've had success in our East County communities, in our backcountry.
Now, there's been a couple of cases where residents managed to get these decisions reversed and keep the predators out of their neighborhoods. I remember one case where the community members got out and protested and complained to the landlord, and eventually the landlord backed down and decided not to lease to Liberty.
Ramona, that happened, and the property owner did live in Ramona. And when the community found out about it, and when I found out about it, we went to the property owner and talked to the property mm-hmm. owner. And because there was a lot of community opposition, the property owner decided wisely not to rent the house. So that was a success.
So that's one thing neighbors can do.
Yeah, that absolutely. It just raised a fuss. And I will be right with people in the communities on these proposed placements to just raise as much fuss and much noise as we possibly can. The other thing that happened in Spring Valley was there was a proposed placement. on Millar Ranch Road. And due to the fact it was found that there was a daycare center across the street, then the state had to withdraw that particular location. So, you know, do we have to locate or start up a daycare center across the street from every one of these proposed places? There may be ways to take care of this because they cannot be placed within a certain distance where there are children. The problem with that is being in court and listening to the judge and the testimony, there are kids close enough to these locations where placement's been made.
Yeah, they don't seem to take into account things like where the nearest school bus is or park.
Or the nearest playground, or where kids may be walking from their home to a playground, from their home to a school.
So I'm sure that you've spoken with our legislators, our representatives in Sacramento. Is there any form of legislative consensus forming, Diane, about what to do about this?
Yes, I have spoken to some of our area legislators, and some of them feel the same way I do, but some of them don't, and we're talking about legislators now throughout the state of California.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you say before that one solution in your mind would be to put these people, if they must be released, down on or near the grounds of the Otay prison. Why is that not being done?
Well, that has been done in the past, and it worked very well. And I said, if the individual has to be released, that's the only acceptable location is outside the walls of the Donovan State Prison site. The reason that's not happening, the state has been saying that, no, you can't do that because the law requires that these sexually violent predators be integrated into the community.
Now, for those who do believe in rehabilitation and trying to give people second chances, do we have any statistics statewide on what percentage of these predators who've been released have actually reoffended? And of those offenses, how many are sexual offenses as opposed to, say, violating parole or drinking, something slightly less serious?
I don't have any of those numbers. I have just the numbers that we talked about earlier.
3 out of 7 in East County reoffending, which is not exactly confidence-inspiring.
You know, when you talk about now the judges are saying they have to be integrated back in the community, the fact is communities don't want them. They're never going to be integrated back into the community.
And did many of these offenders come from East County, or are we being dumped on with predators from other areas?
We're being dumped on. And it's outrageous, and it's not right.
Where can people get more information if they want to know if one of these predators is proposed for release in their area?
Well, there is the SAFE Task Force, and they are the ones that oversee this operation, receive the input. The district attorney's office, there's a contact there. And people should know that when I said earlier, these are the worst of the worst. There's different levels of sex offenders. Mm-hmm. There's the registered sex offender, which is on the Megan's Law database, mm-hmm. which everybody should know about and look up to see where the registered sex offenders live.
Yeah, I've looked on the Megan's List directory, and it's very shocking. These predators seem to be all over the place.
Very shocking. You have several levels, 3 levels, the registered sex offenders, mm-hmm. the high-risk sex offenders, and then you have the sexually violent predators that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Those are defined as individuals that have committed multiple sexual mm-hmm. acts, crimes, and been convicted, but also have a mental disorder. All those 3 categories, no one will guarantee that they will not reoffend. And our kids are at risk.
Right.
And that's the biggest issue here. My position has always been, if you commit a crime against a child, you lose your freedom and you should be locked up for good.
I think many people would share that sentiment and wouldn't want a sexual predator living next door to their family.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Supervisor Jacob, for speaking with us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. I'm here in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon, and my very special guest today is Pat Setzer. Pat is the Dean of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at Cuyamaca College, where he is also the co-chair of their Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Pat, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, the campus at Cuyamaca College has really had some changes in its student body, becoming truly international. Tell us a little bit about some of the changes you've seen over the years.
You're correct. The student body is becoming increasingly diverse at Cuyamaca College. In recent years, we've had a large increase in our Chaldean population. We are also an officially designated Hispanic-serving institution, which means we have a very substantial Latino population. Also, we're increasingly serving more Native American students. In fact, the college recently formed a Native American Student Alliance chapter.
Ah.
And so we're offering courses in Kumeyaay history, serving that population as well.
Very nice. Now, the college has a number of diversity-related events coming up that are very exciting, starting with something called the Diversity Dialogues, which is a lecture series. Can you give our listeners some details about when that starts and what that's going to include?
Sure. Diversity Dialogues is a series of workshops. They're free, open to the public. They're one-hour workshops, and they focus on different issues of diversity. And the idea is to raise awareness and also to give students empowerment to go forward and make a difference. This fall, we are offering 6 workshops from September through November. And the first one is called the Songstream Project.
And what is the Songstream Project all about?
Well, it's a one-hour workshop that features two presenters, Michael Fryer and Talia Morales, who are the originators of this project, and it's a project that uses songs and music to give voice to social issues and empower people to make change.
Very good. Well, we are the Network for Social Justice, so that's something I'm sure will be of interest to a lot of our listeners.
Some of our additional workshops over the fall semester are entitled Diverse Capacities, Leadership and Diversity, Generational Diversity, and Finding Your Voice in the Social Justice Movement. And you can find out about all of these on the college website, www.cuyamaca.edu.
Another thing is Latino Heritage Month. We're in the middle of it right now in September. And I understand that you have some events coming up for that. Can you tell us about them?
Absolutely. We have a pair of events, September 17th and September 18th. On the 17th in the evening, starting at 7:30 p.m., we're having a one-night version of the Latino Film Festival.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Yes, it's presented by the San Diego Latino Film Festival, run by Ethan Van Theo. Mm-hmm. And this is a single evening event. It's called Shortcuts, a Celebration of Latino Film. And it will feature 3 or 4 original short films in Spanish with English subtitles. And these are films from Mexico, South America, and the United States. that explore a myriad of topics wholly relevant to the Latino experience. Some of the filmmakers and perhaps the actors will be there as well in attendance. So there'll be a question and answer and some refreshments after the films are over.
Well, there you go, listeners. So you can go hobnob with some movie stars and enjoy some really good films. What is the other event?
That's called our Latino Heritage Month celebration. That's on Thursday, September 18th, and that's from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and it will be held out on the grand lawn of the college, the main quad in the middle of the campus. And the keynote address will be given by Patricia Santana, who is the chair of our World Languages Department, but also an acclaimed published novelist. It will also feature performances by the Ballet Folklorico, the Fiesta de Colores. There'll be a mariachi performance, as well as a free salsa bar and food from Sarita's Taco Shop.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Fantastic. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about your diversity events that you have coming up, Pat?
Well, we have college hour events every month. In August, we had one celebrating the Chaldean community. Mm-hmm. And this one in September, of course, is Latino Heritage Month. So every month we have a college hour event that celebrates a particular community within the college.
What a lot of fun. A wonderful way to teach the students all about the diverse cultures and populations you have. You also have a substantial number of African immigrants, I understand, including the Lost Boys of the Sudan, who actually gave a presentation a year or two ago, as I recall.
That is correct. So that's another community within our student body.
Now, again, we've been speaking with Pat Setzer from Cuyamaca College, who's been telling us all about a series of diversity events that they have coming up. And if people want to get more information on this, Pat, are these free events? Are they open to the public? And where can they get more information?
All of these events are free, and the best phone number to call for more information would be 619-660-4295.
Very good. And the website for the college, again, is?
www.cuyamaca.edu.
Thank you so much, Pat, for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you.
California kids are back in school, and now the goal is to keep them going back. State leaders have come together to declare September as School Attendance Awareness Month. Assemblymember Shirley Weber, who authored the recently passed resolution, says the first step is showing up.
So we've got to basically say to parents and kids that attendance is important, that it is something you can do, and having your child ready and available to go to school is extremely important.
Weber was joined by other leaders at the state capitol on Thursday to announce California's involvement in a national initiative to raise awareness around reducing chronic absence in schools. She says the state's estimated 250,000 chronically absent students struggle when they are in the classroom.
And those students, when we track them, we discover that they're also the same children who have issues with behavior, they have issues with academic excellence, they become the ones suspended, expelled, and eventually who drop out of school.
Weber says everyone needs to help reduce chronic absenteeism.
As we ask for teachers to do more and schools to do more, that every parent and every family and every community ought to do more to make sure that every child is in school every day and ready to learn.
State Superintendent Tom Torlakson agrees everyone has a part in preparing California's children for brighter futures. He says California's schools can have the best facilities, materials, and teachers in the world, but no school can reach a child who simply isn't there. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
This is Ed Barreno with East County Magazine. I'm here with our editor, Miriam Raftery, and we're going to talk about some ways to keep cool during the hot summer weeks.
Well, there's a lot of ways to stay cool in East County, Ed, and we've got some things today, whether you're old or young or you've got kids or you just want to go out and have a good time, there's an awful lot of options to beat the heat. One of my favorites is the bowling alleys. I know that's kind of an old-fashioned sport, but some of these bowling alleys now, they even have things like galactic bowling or cosmic bowling where you go in and they have the mist and the colored lights, and it's kind of a fun way to stay cool. There's one at Viejas, there's another one at Parkway Bowl, maybe some others.
Yeah, and then that's good for the kids, too. They got the bumper bowling in there, and then there's always, you know, some video games and some air hockey, things like that in those places. So it's a good place to spend some time.
Well, there you go. Some of them even have arcades and things like that. Yeah, my dad was actually a champion bowler at one time, so I have a lot of fond memories of hanging around bowling alleys growing up.
All right. And then there's also the ice rink. The Hot Croc Nights has an ice rink, and you can go in there and ice skate. When I was a kid, that was a way that my family would beat the heat. It was, we'd all go ice skating. My sister was a competitive ice skater, and I just kind of liked to go fast and crash.
My daughter was a competitive ice skater for a while, made it all the way to junior nationals one year, and I wish we'd had this place close to home back then, but now it's the Croc Center. For those not familiar with it, it's on University Avenue, just a block east of La Mesa, and on certain Wednesday nights during the summer, they have family rates for ice skating, and it's a lot of fun. And another cool thing that Croc Center has is dive-in movies. This is where they give you an inner tube and you float in the pool and you watch the movie on the big screen. You can check our calendar to find out when those are.
That would be a lot of fun. Speaking of movies, you can always just go check out a matinee during the heat of the day. A lot of times they have discounted rates and discounts and things like that. So the movies are a great option to kind of beat the heat, at least for a couple hours, and check out some of the latest flicks.
Yeah, there you go. I think Regal Cinema in El Cajon is even offering $1 days at the movie certain hours, certain days of the week this summer. So those are all good things to check out. Now, you've got a young son, Ed. I bet he likes to swim.
Yeah, he's a good little swimmer. There's always the community pools that you can take him to if your, you know, apartment complex or housing association doesn't have a pool. There are community pools, so you can go out and get some swimming in and beat the heat like that. It's always a healthy outdoor activity during the hot days.
Yeah, one of the best-kept secrets out here is that in Santee, there's a community center that actually has play equipment for children and a little water slide right in the middle of the pool. So that's, you might want to check that one out. I think your little boy would love it.
Yeah, and isn't there a water park in East Lake?
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Knott's Soak City, run by the same folks that run Knott's Berry Farm. It's a water park, and it is down in the Otay area, the inland part of Chula Vista. I know at Santee Lakes there is a splash park, and it's kind of a spray park, and the kids can run through the spray and get wet. And there's also a splash pop jet fountain out at the Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine. And then for us older adults, there are several swimming pools at Croc Center. One of them's Olympic-sized, and they have all kinds of aquatic classes out there that you can take as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the community parks now have, like, water play options, too. Like, there's a park in Rancho, San Diego, that has really nice water play, and you can go and play in the water. There's all kinds of fountains and splashy things.
Well, there you go. There's also the YMCA, and there's gym equipment and all kinds of classes and everything from, you know, aerobics to you name it, that you can do in air-conditioned comfort out there.
Let's see. There's also the mall. I mean, we could go shopping, and there's, like, at Parkway Plaza, they got the nice big merry-go-round and lots of little play areas for your kids and obviously all the stores and everything. That's a very nice controlled climate inside the mall there.
Yeah, all air-conditioned and cool. Good place to go in the summertime. There are also some arcades around that the kids just love. One of them is Boomers, which is out off of 67 in the, not sure if it's El Cajon or Santee right there, and they have an indoor arcade with all kinds of games and as well as some outdoor stuff like bumper cars and,
things
like that.
My kid's favorite is at the Boardwalk. They've got, next to the Parkway Bowl, there's a huge arcade for younger kids with lots of ticket games and all that stuff. It's a lot like Boomers.
So. Yeah.
Those are both great places to cool off.
There's also one out at the Viejas Outlet Center as well, another arcade there.
I don't know if this boomer has it, but I know a lot of the boomers have the bumper boats.
Ah, well, they have mini golf, I know that, and batting cages and stuff. Another nice way to cool off and have the kids learn something in the process is to go to one of our wonderful local museums. Two of my personal favorites are Heritage of the Americas Museum on the campus of Cuyamaca College, and they have everything from wonderful artwork to Indian and Native American artifacts. They have dinosaur bones and natural history things and gems and minerals and a really cool gift shop and a lot of good things. The other one is Mission Trails Regional Park. Have you been there?
Yeah, not to their museum, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a beautiful visitor center. The museum, it's two-story, and when you walk up inside of it, they have cool animal sounds. So you'll hear owls hooting and, you know, different kinds of wildlife, and they have, you know, stuffed mountain lion and a lot of Native American history and exhibits as well. So it's really a very fascinating place to go.
Yeah, and what about live shows? I know some of the area Indian gaming areas have the have some live shows and things like that?
Yeah, they do. Sequan, for example, has a live up-close theater, and they get a lot of fairly well-known headliners in there sometimes, and that's a place you can check out. There is the Viejas Arena at the campus of San Diego State University that gets really big names. I know if you look the next few months, they've got like the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac coming up in the fall, some huge names. There is, closer to home, we have the Young Adults Theater in Spring Valley, which does a lot of musical entertainment. And also there are musical shows that are produced or staged atop Mount Helix in the evenings. And that is just a wonderful way to sit up there as the sun's going down and cool off and really enjoy catch a breeze.
Yeah, and then a place that I'll take my son, especially when he's a little younger, was the library, because they do those book readings, and which is always great for the little ones.
Oh, yeah. And for older adults, older kids and adults as well, they now have an acoustic concert series that's produced by the San Diego County Libraries, and you can go on the county library site and find out who's going to be playing when in your neighborhood library.
Yeah, and something else for the older crowds is the senior centers. I know they do a lot of card games and have lots of fun things and TV to watch and stuff like that.
They do. I know La Mesa's Senior Center, they even do field trips. They'll take them all over the place for fun stuff. And the other thing is community centers, which offer classes and crafts. And there are things for children as well as teenagers and adults of all ages there, exercise classes and you name it, yoga, some really fun things to do there.
And also, you can always catch a meal at a nice air-conditioned restaurant, maybe catch one with the nice outdoor views. You can look at everyone else sweating outside while you sit in a nice air-conditioned restaurant and have a meal.
Well, there you go. There's even places where you can kind of have it both ways, indoor, outdoor. Downtown El Cajon, for example, on Friday nights, they do dinner and a concert, so you can sit there in some of the cafes that Downtown Cafe, for instance, has windows that open to the outdoors, so it's kind of open air, but there's still air conditioning inside, and yet you can catch the concert going on just across the street. Or you can bring a blanket and sit out on the lawn and enjoy the music for free, not only in El Cajon, but they have them La Mesa Sundays at 6 and Harry Griffith Park. Santee at the Trolley Center has one in the evenings. So again, as the sun goes down, you can get outdoors out of your hot house and enjoy some good music, and that's all free. And in addition to restaurants, a lot of people like to go take in a sports game. There's more and more restaurants and sports bars around now where you can go in and cool off and enjoy your favorite football or baseball game or whatever sport you like.
Yeah, and also our East County Mountains, if you check the weather report, I know that there's some good hiking out there. It might be a little cooler out in those mountains. Just make sure you're well aware of any kind of dangers with time of day, with mountain lions and things like that.
Yeah, it can be a long, hot hike, and you need to carry a lot of water. There's, you know, some of the waterfalls are very popular trails out there, but it's a long way to get there, and you need to check with the Forest Service and make sure that there is still water, no diving or anything. But there are some that have pools at the bottom that you can swim in, out at Cedar Creek Falls, for example, this time of year, and or at least certain times of the year. And also, a little shorter hike is the Green Valley Falls, where you can at least go down and dip your feet in the water and cool off a little bit, and that's a really lovely trail, and it's very accessible.
Yes, and remember, do not hike alone, especially in the heat.
That's right, and carry plenty of water with you and a cell phone. So that wraps up our discussion of some cool ways to beat the heat here in East County.
Yep, stay cool, East County.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
And next up, we're going to replay an episode taped last summer on one of our favorite places to stay cool in these hot summer, almost autumn days here, as we take you on the road at Santee Lakes.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
So we're here at Santee Lakes, and we're at the Spray Ground. This looks like fun. Yeah, Miriam?
It does. There's lots of little kids in there splashing around, getting all wet.
And why don't we have one of these for adults?
Good idea, Mike.
Looks like fun.
It does.
Hello, I'm Mike Hancock. We're on the road in East County. We're here with Jonathan Skinner with Santee Lakes. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for taking some time out to talk to us today and tell us all about what's happening at Santee Lakes.
We're really excited about our property and what we do here. We're a community asset. We've been out here since over 50 years, offering recreational opportunities for the community. And when I say the community, I'm not just talking Santee. I'm talking about La Mesa and El Cajon and Alpine. They're part of that 750,000 people that we have come here every year.
That's a lot of people coming to Santee Lake. So, Jonathan, can you take us back to the beginning of Santee Lakes and tell us how it all started?
When it was the Santee Water District, there was a challenge that we had. And basically, we do reclaim water. The water district does reclaim water, but we were shipping it down to San Diego, and we had an opportunity either to maintain that or to find a way to handle the water ourselves. And Ray Stoyer, the general manager at the time, decided to make it a way that we can take care of recycled water here, and the recreation came as an afterthought. We started actually working with the environmental community to get it approved to have reclaimed water used for recreation. So that's really, really exciting.
So it's a green operation, the reclamation of the water?
Yeah, we actually have a very big plant north of us, and it recycles 2 million gallons of water a day.
This is Miriam Raftery, and I understand this has become an international model. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, when you look at reclaimed water, a lot of times they just take it and, you know, use it for irrigation and other sources. What we were able to do is find a way to make it for recreational use. When Ray Stoyer started this project back in the 50s and 60s, he was able to get approval to have limited contact with the water, but also use it for recreation. So if you take a look in our general store where we're just at, you'll see pictures of we had sailboats. So we will be bringing back. Exactly when, I'm not sure, but we will be bringing that back. We have fishing that started back then. We currently stock over 38,000 pounds of fish between trout and catfish a year.
You also added camping.
If you took pictures of our old campsite, it was very primitive. Well, and now we're on, I would say, part of the state-of-the-art of camping. We went from under 100 sites to now over 300 sites. We've also included cabins. Three of them are floating, and seven of them are on shore.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the floating cabins.
It was a labor of love from our previous director, who is now our general manager, Alan Carlisle. He was approached, and the park was approached, from people who didn't have tents. They didn't have trailers, but they wanted to come camping. So through a lot of research and support from the board of directors, we found a way to have cabins, which are basically trailers that are stationary. We have them on Lake 7. It's absolutely beautiful. So three of them are floating cabins. We actually have a dock that goes up to them, and they're floating, and then we have seven land cabins.
So they're anchored.
They're anchored. No, they don't just travel around, which is a very good question, because when people ask to reserve and they say, well, am I going to be floating? You're going to be floating, but you're going to be stationary.
It'd be hard to get a good night's rest.
So you won't get seasick.
Well, we haven't had anybody get seasick yet.
What else is in your dream list there for Santee Lakes for the future?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Miriam, because right now we're doing a master plan for the park. The last one we had, which was the 21-21 plan, came up with a lot of great opportunities and projects for us, which we completed. But currently what we're looking at is expanding our recreational opportunities. Some of the things that have been talked about is a zip line.
Hey.
We want to do some shore restoration, which is going to increase some of our picnicking opportunities, some retrofits that we have for the back of the park, upgrading things that have been here since, not the beginning, but since the 70s.
They also have various things that you can rent to go see the lake.
Some of the amenities we've had for a couple of years is our pedal boats, which is really, really big. They either have it for two people or five people. And it's primarily right now on Lake 5, which our goal is to also put them on Lake 1. It's one of our biggest lakes. One of our newest additions that we got in 2012 are our Surreys and our bikes. Now, if you haven't seen a Surrey, there's a song about it with a Surrey on top. So it's a two-person or four-person bike, and you can actually fit as many as six adults and two kids up front. It's a great way to see the park up front, but it's also great exercise, and you'll be able to see that when you go out on it.
Right. Yeah, that sounds good.
And so we're going to take you on a tour and go pedal around the lake and look at some of the sights.
Okay, so we set off on the Surrey, and
Fun.
Here we are at Santee Lake, driving around, and we're going the wrong way.
Not at the lake, though. How do we break it?
Oh, the brake's right here. If you see something bad about to happen,
just yank it. Okay.
Yeah, cool. We want to go to the left. Is this the way we're supposed to go? So we're not supposed to go on the sidewalk. This thing really moves. Let me know if you want to drive.
Cool. Here we go.
I don't think we could go uphill anyway, even if we tried.
We are on the road in Santee Lake.
We got a wave, too.
Yeah.
I think we're going to park it right here.
Jonathan, tell us about some of the fun activities that you've got planned this summer out at Santee Lakes.
Well, starting on June 21st, we start our movie series, and we call it Movies by the Lake. It's on Lake 5, absolutely beautiful.
Bring your popcorn.
Definitely bring your popcorn. Yeah, it's like a drive-in movie, and we encourage people to bring their picnic baskets and their blankets. We have games for the kids, and we also, at certain ones, we have bands who come and play. There's a special concert that is here for the Rotary, which is Concerts at the Lakes. That one, they have two bands, one called Ramshackle, which play a lot of the newer music, and then they have four lads from Liverpool. And that is a Beatles tribute band.
Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us today. And where can people get more information about Santee Lakes?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.santeelakes.com, or they can visit us on Facebook and like us on Facebook, or they can call us at 619-596-3141.
We'll be back again next week with another edition of On the Road in East County. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.